So, welcome to another episode of the Alex Real Show, where we talk Orange County business and real estate. And in this episode, we have a very special guest. This guest is somebody that's actually doing something very special, especially here in Orange County, exclusively to Orange County, and somebody that I'm really excited to share with you guys today. This guest is going to be running for a position of office here in Orange County, and I'd like to introduce Toni Smart. And she's running for the position of Auditor Controller here in Orange County. So, welcome to the show, Toni.
I'm happy to be here today.
Thank you. Thank you for coming. Now, just for people that don't know, I kind of gave you a brief introduction, but would you please introduce yourself and tell our listeners basically a little bit about your story and like who you are?
Sure. So, my name is Toni Smart, and I'm a CPA here and since 2002. And I actually come from a family of accountants. My grandfather was an accountant in a manufacturing company, and my sister works for a dental group, and my daughter is a CPA, and she's working as kind of an expert for lawyers, you know, in court. So she's involved as well as in the county. I'm a long-term Tustin resident, have been there a long time. And I have about 22 years of government experience. I've been working for the County of Orange and the City of Long Beach for a total of 22 years, both as an auditor and an accountant. I have a lot of experience in the area. I recently have served as an accounting manager, and I was responsible for the county's financial statements, which is a very big job, as you can imagine, and a citizen's report. So that's where we take the complicated information and try to sum it down into something that's user-friendly for the average citizen. Also, looking over federal grant expenditures, and most recently, I served as the Auditor Controller's Internal Audit Director, and that's a very important job, and that's where the audit function is looking at information technology, ensuring all the internal controls are in place, and also auditing third-party agreements, contracts, leases, ensuring all the money is coming in the way it's supposed to according to the terms. So we also perform financial fraud investigations, which is pretty interesting. And I just wanted to add on to this that the audit director has a pretty interesting role. You can imagine you have the auditor controller. So you have the audit function, who's also auditing the controller function and is reporting to the same elected official. So that requires an element of independence that the audit director must maintain in order to do that job. And the elected auditor controller really needs to support that independence. You can imagine the conflict if you were to find something on one side that you report to the same individual. And so that's something that I think a lot of people don't really understand when it comes to the auditor controller. And so with that, the audit side provides transparency in what happens in the government. And so I was able to spend a number of years there as the director.
Wow. So you have a very, very wide breadth of experience, especially when it comes to accounting. Like you're saying, also in your family.
Yes.
A lot, it's like it runs in the family, right?
It does. We need more doctors and mechanics, maybe. We have too many accountants.
Right, right. Well, it's good, though, because, you know, you want somebody that has a lot of experience, right? And that's awesome because, like you're saying, especially what something I noted right here is that there needs to be a little bit of independence in the position, like you're saying.
Right. And, you know, really, you have to respect the fact that the audit function needs to have the ability to do its job without undue influence or pressure.
Right.
You know, and that's something that is lacking right now.
Right.
And I saw that firsthand, and it was a challenge for myself.
Right. Oh, wow. Now, for our listeners who maybe don't know, how would you describe what an auditor controller is? Like, what would be the best, most simple way that you could describe it as?
I would say the best way to describe the auditor controller is it's a support function to the county, and that, for example, we're paying over, 17,000 employees payroll.
Right.
So everybody gets paid on time, as well as billions of dollars that pass through the financial system and the money going out to third parties to provide services on behalf of all the county departments. For example, there's health care, animal care, public protection, and all of that. So we need to make sure that, you know, we're paying the bills on time, and that's very important. We also are responsible for what we call extending the rule. In other words, you have the assessor who's assessing the property, and then the auditor controller is calculating the amount of property taxes that they're going to do. And then that transfers to another elected official. And then we apportion these tax dollars out to schools and districts and cities. And a lot of them rely on that money, property taxes. In addition to that, we have kind of the nuts and bolts of accounting, tracking capital assets, preparing financial statements. It's kind of what you imagine is a typical accounting type of role. And then as I described earlier, we have the audit side, which is very important. And that's the check and balances.
Absolutely. And very important because like you're saying, you guys investigate fraud as well, right?
That's correct. We had a fraud hotline.
Oh, wow.
And, they say that most of the fraud that's going to be detected is going to come through these, whistleblower hotlines. Mm-hmm. And so we have a county council, and they track this. And if there's something financial in nature, they will refer that over to the internal audit function to investigate and provide the report back to them. And in some cases, we find that money is due back to county. In fact, it was a recent vendor that I investigated where we determined they were billing the county for rent that they were never paying. And then we identified over $300,000 that was due back. So those are some of the important functions of the auditor controller and their audit function.
Yeah, because like you're saying, it's to really prevent people from kind of cheating the system in a way and making sure that those dollars get allocated correctly to where they need to go, like you were stating before, like for schools and also in other areas as well. Now, aside from that, now what made you ultimately decide to campaign for the Orange County Auditor Controller?
That's a really good question. I have no political background. I'm just in a CPA working in the government. And in the recent years with the newly elected Auditor Controller, came into office in 2015. My colleagues and I, we witnessed the office changing. And what used to be an accounting and auditing support function actually became more of a political office. Now, although you run and you have to win an election to have the check and balances, because you want those paying the bills to be separate of the board, but it really shouldn't be a political office in that you have a number of people whose sole purpose is to go out and do political activity. And so that change is really disturbing to those of us in the office. And was at the cost of the operations, because the positions that were supporting these payroll and all these things I described were being converted into management positions and filled by political cronies and people that supported the current elected official. And that's costing the taxpayers over $730,000 in salary and benefits. So that was one thing that was really, really disturbing to us.
Wow. Now, just a quick question. Now, you said that basically a lot of money was being allocated that really wasn't being allocated before. And also, I'm just curious, like you said, things started to get political. Like, what exactly is what made it political when it didn't used to be so political? Like, what was the difference for you?
What was the difference? First of all, when we watched the positions being converted over and the people that were filling them that had no accounting and auditing background, and they were doing nothing but going out and promoting the current elected official. These positions were not in place before. I want to say there's probably about 5 or 6 people, if I recall, roughly, where they were, over all the years of the previous auditor controllers, there was never the need for these positions. And so these were all added in the last couple of years.
Oh, wow. So really, in a way, it seems like these new positions were just created, it seems, based on what you're saying, based on just other purposes that weren't originally there, then, correct?
That's correct. And it was just, you know, really for the purpose of reelecting the current incumbent. And so, you know, we, as auditors and people in accounting, were very disturbed by this. And in addition to that, we also saw other things going on in the office that really were disturbing as far as staff being asked to watch the elected auditor controller's children and drive them around. That's a liability to the county, and that is, to me, an abuse of power. That highly paid staff are out doing this type of activity. In addition to that, there was leaking confidential documents for the sole purpose of getting a name out there for the individual and compromising the county's vulnerability. I have a hard time saying that word. But, you know, and that was really a difficult thing to see as well as the audit director. And once again, in that role where you're reporting to an individual, that you also have a responsibility as far as, you know, being the audit director of the county. The other thing that was really kind of that really disturbed us, you might say, is the hypocrisy in that the auditor controller claims he's a taxpayer watchdog. I mean, we hear those terms a lot, right, the watchdog, and that's great. The problem with that is that the watchdog is really wasting tax dollars. So, you know, you have him out there doing this and presenting awards and all of that, but behind the scenes you have all of this, abuse of tax dollars.
Oh, wow. So there's a lot in there. Just based on your experience, that things had really changed. Mm-hmm. And did you say, also, just to make sure I got this correctly, that they actually hire, you're saying that they hired people to watch over other people? Is that what you're saying?
The staff that were hired to perform the political type of activities were mm-hmm. primarily the ones who were out picking up children. Is that what you're referring to?
Yes, yes.
Yes, the children. But other staff as well. In fact, the accounting director at different times was a babysitter. And I personally had to watch the children on one occasion when the grand jury came over to visit. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, the magnitude of that is much more. And primarily the group hired to support the political activities were the babysitters.
Okay.
So to kind of wrap this up, why did I run? All of that going on, it was March 6th. And I remember thinking to myself that I need to get another name on the ballot. I need to give the voters another option, and my passion for that office and the integrity and what it used to be and what I'd like to see it to be again was my driving force behind why I did it. I had no idea what I was getting myself into, to be honest with you, but I really want to, you know, maintain and restore that integrity back in there that's been lost.
Yeah, well, I love that. You know, your motive is very good, because the really motive behind it is to, like you're saying, restore the integrity that you feel needs to be restored, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's awesome. Now, aside from that, I know you mentioned some things, of course, and then the number of things that you've seen that made you initially like integrity, restoring it, and there's a number of other things, but if you were elected, what would you be doing differently?
Well, the first thing I would do is I would approach the Audit Oversight Committee and really work with them on updating their bylaws and having in those bylaws that the hiring and the firing of the audit director must be approved by the Audit Oversight Committee.
Oh, and really quick, just for our listeners, now, for those that don't know, what are bylaws?
The bylaws are basically what the authority of the Audit Oversight Committee is, and the function and the responsibilities. We used to have a charter and bylaws and a consolidated business bylaws. And those were recently updated. And so in those bylaws currently, there is no mechanism for them to hire or fire the audit director. That's very important. what we don't want to have is we don't want to have the one individual who can, you know, influence or pressure the audit director and fire them, and not have that transparency. So I would work with the Audit Oversight Committee, and not only with the bylaws, but with other ways to ensure the independence of the audit director and audit function in the office. The other thing is that the auditor controller is actually the chairman of the county's Measure M taxpayer oversight board. And, you know, the Measure M is a voter-approved 1.5-cent sales tax for transportation purposes. And it requires that the auditor control be the chair. This board meets about 6 times a year. And the current auditor controller has not attended a meeting at all in 2017. That's really pretty disturbing. I actually have an audit director peer that works for the Orange County Transportation Authority, and she would call me all the time and ask me, when is your boss going to be coming down to our meeting? And he has not showed up at all since 2017. I believe he did recently attend a meeting in 18, but that was after a long period of absence. And that's a very significant response, that was very important. Not only with that committee, but there's other committees that the elected auditor controller needs to be really engaged in and participate in. And that includes the Audit Oversight Committee. Not a voting member, but needs to be there and be engaged, as well as the Treasury Oversight Committee. And that's another function that the auditor controller is part of. And then we also have a Public Finance Authority or Advisory Committee called PFAC, is the acronym. And that committee is another function that the auditor controller should be participating in. And we have not seen that really going on in the last, like I said, a couple of years. Active engagement. I would change that. I would be very engaged in these committees, especially this Measure M, which is really important to me personally, the transportation role. Another thing I would do is I would eliminate these taxpayer watchdog awards that are going on. And I say that only because they're only given to political alliances and friends, and they're about $300 each. You know, they're not really necessary, and you could go out and have a handshake and congratulate somebody for providing these services, or even, you know, producing a nice award that doesn't cost $300 to frame. In addition to that, there's a number of, one vendor in particular that puts together these taxpayer watchdog images and marketing materials at the cost to taxpayers. I would eliminate that. I don't think it's necessary. Finally, and most importantly, I think, too, is improving the morale of the office. All the hardworking people in there doing the accounting and the auditing work, I feel like they've been forgotten. And they've been forgotten for the fact of focusing energy on the political activities and not, you know, the heart and soul what the office is about. And that's the implementation, for example, of government accounting standards, ensuring that these standards are properly reflected in financial statements, and just being there for the office and really being an active participant. One other thing I want to mention to you that's been of concern to the Board of Supervisors is that the current auditor controller has not filled what they call the chief deputy auditor controller. That's number two in the office. The number two person is very critical to the entire office in providing support to the accountants, and it has been a concern by the board. If something were to happen to the auditor controller, who's in charge? Nobody in charge. And that would be something I would feel immediately.
Yeah, you're right, because if something were to happen, you'd have somebody that's going to be there to actually fill in the position,
exactly,
like you're saying, in case that something were to happen. Mm-hmm. So wow, so a lot of different things, like you're saying, like the meetings are happening, you said, 6 times annually, correct?
Right, for that Measure M, 6 times.
Yeah.
And the chair, and being the chair of that, and being engaged to be the chair. So that would be definitely one thing that has not happened. I would, you know, be on top of that. As well as all the other committees as well.
Oh, that's great. So you would definitely be doing some of the things that you see are lacking right now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as far as that, I know you have mentioned a number of things that you like to see. But ideally, like an idealistic world, what would you say is most important to look for in an auditor controller?
I feel the auditor controller really needs to have a lot of experience in accounting and auditing. And the candidate should have a government background. Government's really pretty unique, as you can imagine.
Oh, yeah.
And so I also feel that the auditor controller should be a CPA and have the credentials and not be a politician. Primarily, not, you know, the person shouldn't be a politician that happens to be a CPA. Should be the opposite, you know. It should be really a CPA that happens to be an elected official. So, you know, I think I am more qualified than the incumbent because I do have the 22 years of experience. The incumbent only has, I believe, well, he's been in office almost 4 years now, but prior to that was working in an administrative role and then in the private sector in a tax practice. So it doesn't have really the breadth of experience in government. And I don't believe really much experience at all in auditing. So those are some of the things I would look for. And I think that those that are looking to decide between the two candidates should really look at their candidate statement and look at their affiliations. You know, is the one candidate really affiliated with a lot of political activities that are, is that what we're looking for our future auditor controller?
Okay, so, wow, so a lot of things, like you're saying, number one is experience.
Mm-hmm.
They must have experience not only with being a CPA and accountant, but also with actual auditing.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're saying, you said you had over, what, 20 years of experience, correct?
Right. I have 22 years experience in both accounting and auditing. So
yeah,
it's about
wow.
half and half. I'd say, you know, 11-plus years in auditing, and I've served as audit director and audit manager. In fact, I've been part of establishing audit functions from the ground up. And so very familiar with that, as well as on the accounting side, supervising large staff of accountants in the auditor controller's office. And I have a number of years there, as well as the city of Long Beach. I have the city experience as well.
And on top of that, your family, all the family experience,
and I
too,
have
right?
family, too, to refer to, yes.
Right, right. But that's awesome. Wow, so you definitely are living and breathing this for quite some time. Now, as far as, let's say, there's a number of problems, of course, here in Orange County, just anywhere you go. There's always going to be problems. What you can do to avoid that? But let's say in Orange County in particular, we see that there is a problem, let's say some homelessness that's starting to rise some more. We see here near the Santa Ana River what had happened recently, it has
yeah.
been happening next to Angel Stadium. And my question to you is, I mean, if it is even possible, and if you were to be elected, what would you be able to do to help alleviate the problem with that, with the homelessness in Orange County?
Well, you bring up a really big concern, I think, for most people in Orange County. I've been to a number of events, and that's been the number one topic. The homelessness is really a big issue, and the elected auditor controller does have an important role. And for example, there's money that's available. We've heard about Mental Health Services Act money recently. And so the auditor controller can really get out there and educate the citizens about what money is available in the county for homelessness. And I think that having that support function as well as the knowledge as far as the different funds and the money in those funds that is available for these purposes is an area that the auditor controller can really be an advocate, get with the community leaders, educate them about how they can read the financial statements. I mean, once again, that's something that people just kind of gloss over. It's very difficult. I'd also help them with asking smart questions. Many people in the community want to address the board. They're going to need not only the financial information, but they may also need to obtain other information from the county, and we call that the Public Records Act. I would assist people and educate them about how they can get the information that they need to determine whether the county is appropriately spending money and on the homeless issue. And as you probably know, there's been a lot of controversy with that recently.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So the main thing would be to essentially make sure that the proper amount of money would be allocated and be put to use for alleviating that problem with the homelessness then.
That's correct. It's not only, you know, spending it for that purpose, but making sure you spend it.
Yeah.
Right?
That's
not
true.
Just have it sitting in the bank.
Yeah.
Earning interest, and we have this big problem out there. And I think the auditor controller being separate of the, you know, the board and the departments can be that independent voice, you might say, and provide insights into the money that is available out there and educating you on how you can look at those financial statements and that information. And in fact, I have Claire Moynihan here with me, and she's very knowledgeable in a lot of the ins and outs of the accounting and what goes on in the office. And thank you, Claire, for all of your help.
Oh, you're welcome.
And so we've been talking about that and how we can, you know, really get in there and take a look at money available and start educating the public. And that's just the beginning.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Education is definitely important. And, yeah, it just seems that not enough money is being at least pushed towards that issue right now. But besides that, what other... I would say, what other issues are really pressing for you when it comes to Orange County, specifically?
Okay. Well, first of all, you know, like you mentioned, homelessness. And it's really coming down to the affordability of homes, the high price. You must know that personally with what you do. So the California legislature has passed several housing affordability bills last September. And one of those bills is SB2, which is the Building Homes and Jobs Act. And for those of you that don't know, that's really the $75 recording fee that went into effect in January. The money is supposed to go towards creating a fund and increasing the affordability of housing. So to quote, I did some research into this, and they say that the money's to go to local governments to update their general plans, housing ordinances, and other planning documents to increase the production of housing. The other half is supposed to go towards assisting people who are homeless or at risk of homelessness. And then in the future, the 70% of the funds will be distributed to cities and counties to be used in a variety of ways to address the unmet housing needs of the jurisdiction. You know, and I look at the role of the auditor controller is that here we have another pot of money being set aside, and the auditor controller will be that independent, evaluation of whether or not that the money is being, you know, that we're receiving the money that is supposed to be coming to the county and spending that money as is intended. So that's really one important issue that I think that's, you know, important to the county and is important to me as well. The second thing is improving the county transportation infrastructure. As we all know, the traffic's getting pretty bad. And so it's important that the county and other governments such as the Orange County Transportation Authority continue to identify projects and spend available funding to improve freeways and intersections. And it is in addition to the fact that the county should properly maintain all of its infrastructure. You know, if you look at other areas as far as, you know, the responsibility for parks and roads and different things like that. So infrastructure, I think, is very important to the county and the auditor controller's role, right? Once again, we talk about that Measure M money coming in, so you know that you're engaged in that and really looking at how OCTA is spending money for those purposes. I could keep going on.
Yeah, I mean,
like a couple more.
There's so much. Well, I actually had a couple questions. So as far as the, let's say, that's one thing I want to know is that with the production of housing, is that specifically here in California, especially, well, this is happening all nationwide, but more so here in California, is actually a lot of the number of houses available for sale are actually, it's going down. And it's not as much availability, and there's a lot more people wanting to buy than there are actual houses for sale.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know supply and demand. When there's less supply and there's more demand, what happens to the price?
Mm-hmm.
Drives the price up. And that's why we've been seeing the real estate market has been doing really well and rallying really well for these past few years. But as far as that, at least it's not as bad as it is up north. We've seen
San Francisco,
yeah,
and other places, yes.
And for those of you that don't know, in places like San Jose, amount of houses that were up for sale year over year went down, last time I read, was roughly 40%, the number of houses that were up for sale. That's,
oh, wow.
It's that bad. Like, it's pretty bad here, but it's way worse, like, when it comes to the amount of houses available up there. But, yeah, as far as that, when it comes to production, now, how, I mean, of course, you're not probably not going to have specific numbers, but, like, let's say there's a ballpark, how much could be maybe allocated to production of housing? Is that an answer that you can really give or no?
You know, that's a really good question, but I wouldn't have that off the top of my head.
Okay.
But I would definitely look into that and find out what would be available. And those are the kind of questions I think that that people like yourself or others, you know, other citizens should go to their auditor controller and ask, you know, especially to do with housing, which is a big issue.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. And, yeah, as far as that, I mean, what were some other pressing issues, like, you were mentioning?
Oh, you know, one thing that is very important, I believe, is the, you know, the government employee pensions. And the liabilities of these pensions that are, recently have gone onto the financial statements of local government is enormous. I was thinking about it today. When I was actually over implementing this new standard where we had to put this unfunded liability for pensions, and it was in the billions of dollars that we had to record. Now, think about this, you know, as we think through about how much is owed to these employees and the pensions that they're going to receive for the rest of their lives, the money in these very lucrative pensions is money taken away from programs, right? And so we've got, you know, like you talk about the housing, and we think about other programs, like I mentioned before, to do with health care and other critical services that we provide. So that's one thing that I've, you know, it's a pressing issue for me personally. And I don't want to get into anything, any more details behind that, because it gets pretty much pretty convoluted. But I like to see more flexibility in giving employees options. So maybe they want to, you know, not opt out of that, you know, expensive program and go into a cheaper formula. I like to see something like that happen. So that's kind of one of the nuances of government pensions. Another thing that's pressing for me is poverty and education. I'm thinking about that. You know, I read some recent statistics that 1 in 4 Orange County residents live in poverty. That's pretty shocking. And so much is needed in the area of job growth. A lot of these jobs are low-paying jobs. And we've talked about the high price of rent and homes. And a lot of these people cannot afford those. So, you know, it kind of goes hand in hand, right? The poverty and the education in many cases.
Yeah, and that's why a lot of people are actually, I'm sure you guys have known this and heard this as well, is that a lot of people are actually leaving California and going to places, top three are Arizona, Texas, and Florida.
Mm-hmm.
That's where people are going.
Yes, definitely. You know, and this also creates a problem where we're trying to attract skilled workers. I had a recent experience where I was trying to bring in a very technical information technology auditor. And those are really hard positions to recruit. Not only do they have, you know, information technology background, but they also have an audit background. And so we were trying to bring these individuals in from out of state, and once they would find out about the housing crisis, we really had a hard time bringing them in. In many cases, they would turn the job offers down. And we just could not pay enough for, you know, what we would attract them to come in and leave these states like Texas. In one case, I actually recruited a gentleman from Texas, and he ultimately went back to Texas.
Oh, wow.
So that's a big problem, you know, for us to bring in the technical expertise that we need here in Orange County and have a new affordable housing. So that's among some of the top pressing issues I see. I'm sure there's many, many more out there.
Oh, yeah, there's plenty of issues that are here in Orange County and just anywhere in general. And it's like anytime you do fix an issue, it's like another one pops up. But that's part of like what you'd be doing, and that's what part of your job would be. But also, I mean, I know you probably answered most of this, and I just like to ask. I saw in your mission pledge, of course, your main focus is store integrity, and you did mention a number of things that you would do. Now, other than that, is there anything else that maybe you missed out that maybe you could do extra, additional things that you could do to restore that integrity?
Well, you know, in addition to what we talked about earlier, you know, the first thing, once again, that comes to my mind is that the Auditor Controller's Office needs to operate lean and efficient. And, you know, it goes back to those things about all these lucrative positions that were provided to non-accounting auditing types. And that money, once again, that savings, and I believe, you know, it's about $1 million a year that I'm going to cut when I take office. And that can go back into these various programs. So, once again, the office itself needs to operate very lean and efficient. I would not, you know, like I said, I would make sure I attended all these critical committees. And over the years, there has been... I'd say there's a relationship between the auditor controller and the CEO, as well as the board of supervisors, has been strained. And I would work towards building that relationship back up, not only with those individuals and those the board of the CEO, but with the department heads. You know, the auditor controller assists them in providing that accounting and that support function, and there's been a lack of trust. And the reason for that is that the function of supporting the departments has turned into kind of a gotcha. You know, I find something wrong, I take it to the newspaper. And there needs to be a balance between supporting the department and the transparency to the public. We want that to be positive. And as we work towards these relationships, then we start to build the integrity and, you know, those things back into the department that have been lost. I also want to add one thing, too, that I think is really important to mention, is that I would also be completely honest and transparent in my own office's budget. Right now, I don't think a lot of people don't even know who the auditor controller is, let alone what the budget is, right? But what I would do is I would make sure that everybody knew exactly how the money in my office was spent. And when you set that example, you know, you can't, if you're going to go out and you're going to hold everybody to a standard, but you're not holding that to for your own office, then, you know, you lose trust and... You know, that's something that once it's lost, the integrity kind of goes with that. So I think if I put all of these things into place, I will restore trust and build an office of integrity. And that's what I mean by restore integrity.
Excellent. I love that. And, yeah, as far as that, I mean, when it comes to integrity, that's such a pure thing to be going through or at least have as a motivation to be running. Now, as far as that, how can people... Let's say, how can we coordinate so that? When is election day for people that listeners that don't know? When is election day officially going to be?
Okay, so the election is on June 5th. It's the primary election, and I just want to let the voters know that that election will be the deciding date of who wins the office of the auditor controller. There's only two of us on the ballot, the incumbent and myself, And so the individual who receives over 50% of the vote is the winner on June 5th. So that's important to know. Most voters today are actually mail-in voters. And I learned some interesting facts on that. About, I think it's about 70% of the voters are going to be mail-in ballots. And those are going to go out around May 7th, I believe, approximately. We're going to mail out about 1 million ballots. So I encourage all of the voters out there to get your ballot. And it's really important to vote. You know, a lot of us only vote for November or maybe on a presidential year. I think maybe only about 20% of the registered voters are actually voting on the primary. And so I want to, you know, encourage all the voters to be out there and get your ballots and take a look at the candidate and make sure to get your ballot in. If you're not comfortable mailing it, you could actually go to the polling site on June 5th and hand your ballot over. Some people have comfort with that. They know it gets to the right place.
Right, right. Yeah, so you guys hear that. So for those of you that do not want to actually, let's say you have a multiple options that you have here, either mail it in, mail in your vote, or you could go physically and actually vote. And it's very simple. There's only going to be two candidates, yourself and also the incumbent. Or, like you said, they could fill out the mail in and then also go and actually go to the polls and actually turn it in.
Turn it in, that's correct. If they're looking for additional information, the Register of Voters has a very, it's a pretty good website. I think it's OC Vote, if I recall correctly. I don't want to misstate that, but you could Google Orange County Register of Voters and go to the website. And they have a lot of information there for those that are not really certain about what to do for the primary or they want to obtain information on those running for office. You can get the candidate statement right there online. And that's where I have my candidate statement. Actually new this year, where, you know, before you had to go out and pay for these hard copies, but, you know, we want to save the trees and, you know, just have it right there on the website. So for them to go ahead, take a look and, you know, read the candidate statement, not only for the auditor controller, but for the other elected offices, and get your vote in there. And I really encourage the listeners to vote smart June 5th.
Definitely. I love that. So, yeah, as far as that, we will be putting the link in the show notes. So we'll be putting that there so you can easily go to the link so you can read more upon that and, of course, make the best decision, make the best vote for yourselves. But other than that, besides that link that we're going to be providing, where else can people find you? Do you have any sort of social – I know you have Facebook –
I do.
Any other areas that they can maybe find you?
Yes, they can find me on Facebook. My email is votesmartforauditorcontroller. It's long. Just remember, votesmartforauditorcontroller@outlook.com. And then I also have a website. It's the same kind of, it's votesmartforocauditorcontroller. And it's at GoDaddy sites. and I was able to use GoDaddy, which is a very user-friendly website, to create my own website. You know, not having the use of all these taxpayer-paid positions, I do everything on my own.
I love it. So we're going to be providing that in the show notes so that our listeners and you guys can really easily find those links and find out more, do your due diligence, of course. But that's basically it, guys. That's basically the conclusion for today's episode. I want to thank you, Tony, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it was a pleasure. And ultimately, guys, we're going to be putting everything in the show notes so you can find more. And if you have any questions, of course, let us know. And last but not least, guys, if you are on any type of platform listening to this, make sure you leave a 5-star review. Or not 5-star. That'd be awesome if you left a 5-star review. I'd love that. But you guys give us a 1-star, 2, 3, 4, 5. It doesn't matter. Just make sure you give us your feedback. That lets us know and also helps promote the show more so it grows more. People hear the message and really helps other people to get in on especially things that we talk about and discuss like what we did today. So, guys, make sure you go do that. And help us out. Other than that, guys, if you have any questions, anything like that, any topics you want us to discuss next time, I'm going to be filling the email in the show notes, and you can easily email me whenever you would like. But that's basically it, guys. You take care. Have an amazing week, and bye-bye.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.